This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Shards Abdullah and you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. Our guest today is Martin Ford, futurist and author of Architecture of Intelligence, The Truth About AI from the People Building It. He believes that in the near future, AI will have monumental paradigm shifts that will affect all areas of society, from the arts and science to culture and institutions. In particular, the impact will be very personal, affecting the jobs that you and I currently do at this moment. Martin, thank you so much for joining us on The Breakfast Grill today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Martin, let's start from the basic. Now, can you sort of give us a clear working definition of AI and why is it important that we pay attention to this technology?
Well, artificial intelligence is, in essence, an attempt to build computers, machines, algorithms that begin to do the kinds of intellectual things that once only people could do. And we're really beginning to see some pretty amazing progress in that area. You know, computers and algorithms are now doing things that would have been considered science fiction just a few years ago.
That's right.
And that, you know, it's different. It's something we've never really seen before because we're now having technology that is beginning to substitute for what you think of as the core competence of human beings, the thing that we are really best at, right? The thing that sets us apart from all the other animals on Earth is our brain, our ability to think and to learn and to innovate. And now we're actually seeing technology that is beginning to step into that arena for the first time ever. And that's going to be incredibly disruptive, and it's going to lead to a lot of things that people maybe don't expect.
So, I mean, before we get into the area where AI could disrupt day-to-day human function, but I think the general consensus has been that technology has improved a lot of mankind. What are some of the problems that, you know, humans cannot address without the aid of artificial intelligence?
Well, AI is going to enhance our brain power, right? It's going to enhance our ability to think, to come up with new ideas, to solve problems. And if you think about it, everything in our civilization that we have now that we didn't have, say, 200 years ago or 300 years ago, all of that results from human intellect, human ingenuity. So it's a great thing. It's responsible for every good thing that we have in the world, basically. But now what we're going to do is we're going to build a technology that can amplify that can extend that, can maybe even to some extent replace that with something better, something more powerful. And that's going to bring enormous benefits. And I think that we're going to need that very powerful tool in order to solve the biggest problems that we face, things like climate change, things like new sources of energy that are clean, that don't emit lots of carbon. Solutions to diseases, to new medical threats that we'll face in the future, things like the next plague, for example. We will need artificial intelligence to address all of these issues, as well as a lot of the social and economic problems throughout the world. You know, poverty, for example, if we're smarter about how we approach that, maybe we can solve that. And AI is going to be the tool that enables that. So it's going to be an incredibly powerful tool that can benefit all of us. At least that's the most optimistic and positive side of artificial intelligence.
So when you refer artificial intelligence as a tool, are we going to the extent that they are able to provide us the solution to solve all the problems that you have just mentioned earlier?
Well, you know, we're beginning to see it's going to be, in fact, a whole package of different tools, things like machine learning and new applications that scientists can use to make new breakthroughs and so forth. But it's getting better and better. And I think it's going to be one of the primary things that we rely on in a variety of areas. I mean, we're already seeing, for example, artificial intelligence being used in drug discovery to discover new pharmaceutical drugs that can be used to treat diseases, right? That's already happening, and that's going to get much more powerful in the future.
some of the concerns that everybody has with regards to artificial intelligence. Now, should we be concerned about sort of the darker and more sinister aspects of AI? I mean, the popular culture references, like the ones that we're familiar with, the Terminator, as well as the Matrix movie, Agent Smith, as you would highlight it in your book, depicts the AI in dystopian terms. Do we have anything to fear?
Yes. I mean, I think there are definitely things that we need to be worried about. As I said, you know, earlier we were talking about artificial intelligence is a tremendous tool that can help us. And that's one side of it. But the other side is that it's going to bring real risks and, you know, dangers, things that we absolutely need to be concerned about. And we need to make sure that we address and regulate. I would sort of divide it into two categories. The first thing is the things that we're going to see either now or in the near future, so definitely over the next 10 years. And then there are other concerns that are much further out in the future. But the things we need to worry about now are things like security. Can someone hack into one of these systems and take control of it and cause it to misbehave? That's a real issue. The potential for artificial intelligence to be used in weapons, which could be a huge problem. Autonomous weapons built using artificial intelligence could be incredibly dangerous, disruptive. You can imagine, you know, thousands of them swarming, programmed to attack using facial recognition and things like this. And this is something that is really not science fiction. The technology to do this kind of thing basically already exists, and we can imagine something like this happening within the next few years. There are issues of bias. Algorithms have shown to, in some cases, learn from data that has bias in it and then act in ways that are, for example, biased racially or biased based on gender and things like this. For example, one company stopped using an artificial intelligence system to screen resumes because it was biased against women. So, you know, these problems have already come up. Another huge one is privacy, or the ability to use artificial intelligence, especially in areas like facial recognition, to essentially create surveillance systems, maybe an entire surveillance state. And you are certainly seeing the beginnings of this in China, right? China, especially in the Xinjiang area out in Western China, has built a massive surveillance state where everyone is tracked with artificial intelligence, with facial recognition and so forth. And this can be very dystopian and Orwellian. And it's something that I think each society is going to have to struggle with, you know, in order to come to the correct trade-off between, yes, these kinds of systems can make us safer and more secure and maybe reduce crime and things like that, but at the same time, do we want to live in a world where we're constantly being watched and to some extent a real concern that something along these lines could someday happen? And there are very smart people that are really worried about this and in fact are devoting their careers to working on how to build safe systems that won't evolve to become a threat to us in the future. But again, I think that that's a very, very futuristic concern that I think it's fine that a few people are working on that, but it's not something that we should all worry too much about right now.
The debate on automation replacing our jobs have been going on for decades, and the consensus is that technology at this moment has brought more good than harm. At what stage will the curve invert? Is it at the point where the, you know, is it at the point where they become fully autonomous?
No, I think it's before then, and I think that we're probably very close to that point now, if we're not there already. I wouldn't maybe phrase it as saying doing harm. It's really about whether a lot of jobs are going to disappear. And of course, if you're one of the people that relies on that job, then you will view that as a bad thing. But I think as a society, we can adapt to that in ways that make it not such a bad thing. The reality is that technology has, of course, always been advancing. It's always eliminated jobs, but it's also always created other jobs.
That's right.
And that's going to continue to happen. I believe we're probably at a point where two things are going to happen. One is that more jobs could be destroyed than are created, so that there's kind of a shortfall there. And the second thing is that there may be an increasing skill mismatch between the jobs that are created and the people that need to work, in the sense that maybe new jobs in new areas are created, but those jobs really require a lot of education and training and technical skill and so forth. and perhaps a lot of people that are doing more routine jobs right now, the kinds of jobs that are certainly going to be susceptible to automation are really going to disappear. And they're not going to be, you know, in a good position to move into those new jobs because they don't have those capabilities. You know, it takes too much education or training. So we need to think about that. What are we going to do as this happens, and what possible solutions are there?
So, I mean, based on your observation as well as your study on this subject, now, what are some of the unique human skills that would be excluded from sort of displacement caused by artificial intelligence?
Right. In the near term, and I mean, I would never say never. Eventually, sure, of course, artificial intelligence could get so good that, you know, it can do anything. But, you know, thinking in terms of the next 10 years or so, I think creativity. I think if you were really thinking outside the box, coming up with new ideas, building new things, you know, that kind of creativity is going to be hard to replicate in the machine. So those kinds of jobs, whether that's an artist or a scientist or an engineer or even a chef in a restaurant that's dreaming up new dishes, you know, all these kinds of jobs are going to be hard to replace with artificial intelligence. The second area are the kinds of jobs that really require deep interaction with other people, where you're really building relationships with people. So think of a nurse in a hospital, right, that it has to care for patients. You need empathy. You need to have that human understanding. In the business world, it might be a job where you really have to understand your client, right, in order to understand the needs of the client and design a service to address those needs. So those kinds of jobs that really have a very strong human element, where you're building a relationship and understanding other people, exhibiting empathy, I think those are going to be relatively safe for the foreseeable future. And then the third category would be what we would think of as skilled trade jobs, you know, jobs that require a lot of dexterity and mobility in a very unpredictable environment. So think about an electrician going around fixing the wiring in different houses and buildings, or a plumber that's fixing problems with the pipes in all these totally different environments. It's, you know, everything is different. You've got to figure out what's going on. You've got to move around in a very dexterous way. These kinds of skilled trade jobs. And I'd also, we can't build a robot to do that. That would be, a robot that could do that would be science fiction. It would be like C-3PO, the robot from Star Wars, right? You know, really a robot that's like a human being that can, you know, run around and do anything a person can do.
Joining us on The Breakfast Grill this morning is Martin Ford, a futurist and author of The Architecture of Intelligence, The Truth About AI from the People Building It. We'll come back for more discussions with Martin on the issue of jobs and ethics right here on BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
You've tuned in to BFM 89.9. On The Breakfast Grill this morning is Martin Ford, futurist and author of The Architecture of Intelligence, The Truth About AI from the People Building It. Earlier, Martin, we spoke a lot about some of the functions or the purpose of AI, as well as some of the concerns that people have when it comes to this technology. Let's move on to the subject of AI and its role in the economy. Okay, so let's touch on that issue for a moment, Martin. Now, you have made several mentions on the concept or the idea of universal basic income as one of the way to cushion the impact of AI. But do you think that this idea is workable, especially as the countries likely to be affected are underdeveloped, as well as underdeveloped countries with large populations?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge, although it has been tried in countries like India, right, which are examples of countries that are struggling with development and with high populations. Obviously, in countries like India, the income that you're going to offer to people is very low. But in the studies that have been done in India, it's had very positive results. We've found that families invest more in education. You know, people don't just take the money and do nothing. They maybe take that money and that enables them to start a small business, right? And then they have an opportunity to thrive. So that's essentially the idea of a basic income, is do you give someone a floor below which they can't fall, right? You give them an essential safety net. And the idea is that most people are going to want more than that. You know, it's going to be fairly minimal. So most people are not going to be satisfied with that money you're giving them and just say, okay, I'll just play video games or whatever. They're going to want to do more than that. They will hopefully educate themselves so that they can get a job, or so that they can start a small business, maybe do something entrepreneurial. Or if not, then maybe they'll work as an artist, or they'll do things that, you know, previously the market wouldn't have rewarded, right? That they can still do meaningful things. It will open up a lot of possibilities for people. Obviously, people will also care for their family members and use the resources in those ways. You know, these are all important things. So the idea is that it provides just a basic safety net so that people, you know, don't fall too far. They don't fall into poverty, and yet they still have the incentive to do more. And the reason they have that incentive is that with a basic income, you give it to everyone. You don't just give it to people that aren't working. You give it to everyone, including people who are working. And what that means is that if you can work, if you can generate income in some way from a small business, say, you will always be better off than someone that chooses not to work and just sits there and takes that money. And that's very important, because one of the big problems we have with our existing social safety net, things like unemployment benefits and various forms of welfare, is that you only get those benefits if you don't have a job, right? If you don't have an income. And therefore, it creates a disincentive for people who are receiving those benefits to go and find a job, because in effect, they may not be better off, right? If the job doesn't pay very well, then they lose their benefits, because now they're working, then they may actually not be any better off at all. So that creates what's called a poverty trap, or a situation where you don't have an incentive to better yourself, to do something more productive. And so a basic income is a way of addressing that problem. And I think it's a really important idea.
What role do you think would governments need to play in all this? Especially, do you think there can be a sort of global agreement regulating the scope as well as the scale of AI?
Well, I definitely think, you know, governments are going to play a huge role, because really they're the only resource that we have to manage this on a national or a global level. I mean, we can rely to some extent on companies, businesses to regulate themselves and to consider ethical issues and so forth. But I mean, history shows that in general, we need overall regulation. And I had mentioned earlier, for example, that there is an initiative in the United Nations to regulate artificial intelligence used in weapons, right? That's a big concern. But there certainly are many other areas that they're going to be a real concern. The use of AI, you know, cyber attacks and artificial intelligence to change the outcome of elections, as was done in the United States in 2016, right, by the Russians. These are all huge problems that we're going to see in the future. So, and there are certainly ethical issues within countries, in terms of, I mentioned, things like racial bias and algorithms. Privacy concerns. I mean, you know, artificial intelligence and facial recognition can be used to spy on people, not just by governments, but also by private businesses. So that's going to call for laws and regulations, and certainly government is going to have to step into that role. Some of it can be done nationally within countries, but a lot of it would require coordination between countries, like in the United Nations, for example. And those are huge challenges, because we know how difficult that is, right? You can look, for example, look at climate change, right, as one example of just how hard it is to coordinate globally on solving a big problem, right? I mean, we've had really kind of limited progress there, and it's just very, very hard.
Well, Martin, I think you touched on something that I'm quite interested to find out more, which is the materials that is being used to power up or even to create AI in general. So speaking of all the possibilities as well as the impact of AI, the question is, what does it take for AI to thrive? And how important is the role of data and perhaps even the ability to connect to it at a very high speed?
Right. Well, in terms of materials, I said silicon, and silicon is what is used to make computer chips. And that's as of now and for the foreseeable future, that's how we're building, you know, smart computers, right? But there are new computer chips that are emerging specifically optimized for artificial intelligence. So that's one of the things that's really causing a lot of progress in this area, right? So we're not using the same traditional kind of computer chip that you'd find in your PC. Now they've got special neural chips that are optimized for doing neural networks, the thing, you know, the most important part of artificial intelligence. So that kind of, those kinds of breakthroughs and progress are really important. And building faster and faster artificial intelligence computers and better algorithms and so forth. But as you say, the other really important part of it is the data. I mean, basically, for the most part, what we call artificial intelligence now is really machine learning. It's algorithms that learn from data. And in order to train those algorithms and get them to do really useful things, you need huge amounts of data. So one example would be that if you wanted to train a system to recognize photographs of a cat, this is something that's been done already. You could do that, and you do it by showing photographs that have cats in them and photographs that do not have cats in them to this algorithm. And each of those photographs will be labeled appropriately. It will say, yes, there's a cat here, or no, there's not a cat. And you might give millions of these photographs to this algorithm, and it will study all of them, and it will learn to tell if there's a cat in a photo or not. And it might get to the point, quite possibly, where it's better than the average person at doing that. Like if you imagine a cat is really hard to see or something, the algorithm will be able to pick it out where the person might not be able to. But doing that takes a huge amount of data, right? And that's the approach that we have right now.
Okay, so Martin, the next one, besides data, how about high-speed connectivity? I mean, right now we're talking about the rolling out of 5G. How important is this technology for AI?
Yeah, I think that'll give it a huge boost. I mean, essentially, connectivity, you know, and what we call the Internet of Things and these kinds of developments where everything is connected, you know, what that's going to do is it's going to create a platform for smart algorithms, right, for artificial intelligence, because now everything is going to be connected. You're going to want to have algorithms that can manage all of these systems, that can determine when there's a problem and fix it, that can monitor things and so forth. And artificial intelligence is going to be a huge part of that. So absolutely, 5G is going to really enable artificial intelligence in important ways, especially maybe in areas like self-driving cars.
Okay, Martin, we're running out of time. But before we do, you know, would you tell them to fear what is coming or perhaps to embrace the change as a result of artificial intelligence?
Absolutely, to do both. I mean, and mostly to be optimistic, to embrace it, to make sure that you personally adapt to it, that you think about it, you incorporate the progress that we're going to see into your own life. But at the same time, to be aware that there are these risks, there are these dangers. And some of these things are not something that you as an individual human can address. But as a voter, you know, as part of a democracy, as a citizen, you need to be aware of these things. You need to make sure that businesses and governments are aware of these issues. You know, this is something that definitely should be part of our political process very soon, right? Politicians need to be talking about these issues because it's a problem for society. So you need to engage as a citizen and help to make sure that we address these issues so that we can make sure that it is a positive thing for everyone, that artificial intelligence becomes a positive force that benefits everyone in our society and doesn't leave lots of people behind or doesn't do things that could end up being genuinely dangerous to all of us.
Martin, thank you so much for speaking to us and sharing your insights and thoughts on The Breakfast Grill. I've been speaking to Martin Ford, futurist and author of The Architecture of Intelligence, The Truth About AI from the People Building It. You've been listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharad Abdullah for BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan's Malaysia Mobile Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.